You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Eight o'clock, first Saturday of the month. We are talking farm fresh, and we try and tie into something that's currently coming to market that's farm fresh, that's grown here in Arizona. Now, not everything is seasonal. There's a lot of, like, your beef isn't necessarily seasonal, your dairy's not necessarily seasonal, and today we're talking farm fresh cheese. That's not exactly a seasonal thing, but we put it together with April because I can't remember why. I think it was just on the list and it was sounded fun and we hadn't done cheese before.
And because this is Julie with Arizona Farm Bureau, we do so much wonderful local cheese, and we've got a new producer of a very unique cheese. You had to put it in there, Romy.
Had to. And cheese is something that I tried to get into. When we started making the Whitman Plantation, and we wanted to produce 70% minimum of our own food and produce, and I was looking at everything we eat, I'm like, you know, we go through a lot of cheese. we got to figure out how to make cheese, and we got goats, and there was a time I was milking every single morning, and I dove into making goat cheese, which was a lot of fun. Cheese making process is very tedious, and it's a lot of fun. And it was just something that, you know, when we had two kids and two horses, I could keep up with. But now that we've got four kids and eight horses, something had to give. So maybe one day we'll get back into the cheese making, but that had to take a back seat for the child development youth time.
Yes. Well, and you have to lean on Paul Rovey, who's with us in studio, because he's got five kids, and like you said, three and a half of them are helping you on your dairy, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Welcome, Paul.
Glad to be here.
And your family history and farming in the West Valley of Glendale, Litchfield, Goodyear goes back over 100 years.
Right, yeah. My great-grandfather came here. Actually, my grandfather came here in 1912. Just in the month of August, so it came at the right time of the year, and so just after it became a state, my dad was born here, my mom was born down in Tucson, so we've been around Arizona for a long time.
And you've got the Rovey Dairy. It's on Northern. I pass it every single morning on the way to the station. I take the 303 now that Northern Parkway comes through, you know, get you almost to the 101 without a stoplight, and at 5:30 in the morning, it's a pretty easy sail across Northern to 16th Street.
Right. Yeah. On the weekdays though, it's like a freeway in front of our place, because we have the feed and our dry cows on the north side of the road, and our milk and our calves on the south side of the road. So we have to cross that road probably 100 times a day with that traffic. It's a challenge.
And I have done that before, where you got to stop and you got to let the big tractor come through, and you're herding the cattle across when you're switching from being an active dairy cow to being in the resting facility.
Correct.
It's one of the few dairy farms and farms in general where it's kind of stayed true to farming and urban, right?
Yeah, we've been on that site. My dad, when he came home from college, in 1943, he bought that. Bought the farm there, and we've been on that farm. I was born and raised there, as well as my brothers and sisters there. So we've been there.
Of nine, right?
Of nine, yeah. I'm one of nine. There was six boys and three girls.
And my little rule is, if you go to an ag meeting and there's not at least one Rovey there, you're not at the right ag meeting. There's a lot of Roveys in there. A lot of them stayed in agriculture.
Yeah.
But we brought Paul to the studio because of something new you're doing. Give us the story.
Well, we started milking sheep here two or three years ago. And how we got into sheep, because, you know, normally cattlemen and sheep are kind of polar opposites. But I love to eat lamb, and so I was the buyer's fund buyer. The county fair made me the buyer's fund buyer for about 25 or 28 years ago. I've done that job ever since. The county fair is coming up in a week here. It's coming up, and so. But so I would buy the lambs at the county fair, and we have pastures out in front of the dairy, and we were having to manage them with big equipment.
And in those pastures, it's not unusual to see other things like llamas, on the backside. I've seen bison. I've seen Watusi. Y'all seem to be animal collectors as well.
Well, I like unique things, and I love to have fun. And so that's why we actually, the llamas, they're good sheep guards. They work extremely well at guarding the sheep against coyotes and dogs. So that's why we have the llamas. They do a tremendous job with that. So,
and the buyers fund for the Maricopa County Fair, I wanted to make sure you kind of highlighted, you guys do that for kids that they might not get somebody to buy their lamb or their pig or whatever, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, that's the purpose of the thing is we get donations from companies and people around in the industry, and then we help support the kids that don't have a buyer or they didn't get a price where it can make it where they can, because the whole purpose of the county fair and the kids raising thing is that they get to experience agriculture, learn responsibility by raising the animal and doing the things, but also have fun and also make a little money so that they understand that there's an economy in raising animals and in that aspect. It isn't just work. It isn't just fun. It's a whole rounded out education through the 4-H and FFA.
But the reality of it, some of it is you ended up with more lambs than maybe you intentionally.
Well,
you bought a few more than you planned.
I bought some of the ewes from the buyer's fund and brought them home, put them on the pastures, and I got some rams, and because I love to eat lamb, I love to eat beef too, but I love lamb. And then some of the neighbors said, "Hey, we have some sheep. Would you like to buy these?" So we bought them, and they turned out to be Dorpers, which is a breed bred in South Africa, and it's a dual purpose. It's you can milk it, and as well as it does really well for meat. And I was showing a picture of my sheep to a person that had grown up raising sheep, and I said, "You know, I've got these sheep now." And they commented, they said, "Rovi, why aren't you milking those?" And I said, "Nobody milks a sheep." And they said, "Oh, yeah, they do, and here's why." So we did the research, found out that you should be milking sheep. So I went home. We transitioned, took the meat sheep and got them to the market and brought in more of the Dorpers, as well as started bringing in East Frisian. It's a breed that milks, has a higher volume of milk. And so we then started milking sheep.
Now, can you hook up, because you guys have the dairy for cattle and you milk 1,500 head of cattle?
We're just shy of 2,000.
2,000 head of cattle. Can you use the same milking machine for a sheep?
No, but it's in a similar kind of a it operates the same, but it's quite a bit smaller. The teat cups are just mini cow teat cups, and they have a claw at the base that the milk collects in, and it goes into the line, and so it's real similar.
The other thing you highlighted, it's two teat system, not a four teat system.
That's correct. Yeah, it's just two instead of four, like a cow.
Makes me think of that Facebook meme about milking almonds, but oh, it's a little bit bigger than that.
So, how many gallons will you get out of a cow versus a sheep?
A cow will be, like our cows will be in the 7 to 8 gallons a day, on our dairy cows, and on a sheep we get about a gallon a day average through their lactation, and that's a shorter lactation than a cow is. It's about 180 to 200 days. Whereas a cow is 305 or 365, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
But. And the same principle for having regularly milking sheep in this case is that ewe has to have a baby. She has to have a lamb, right?
That's the same. Yeah, yeah. The same with a cow. They're mammals, and so to be able to lactate, they need to have a baby, and then they start lactating, and we take the babies to the calf barn where the calf raisers, they raise the lambs as well. So it really works out as a very symbiotic relationship.
Which I think is so special. I want to come to the dairy and see that. So you've got your lambs and your baby and your calves all in the same area. They can be friends and buddies together.
Yep. The old range wars weren't necessary. The sheep and the cows can kind of get along because we're doing it nowadays.
So where do you have? So now then you've gone through the process and you're milking these sheep. You've got this very special cheese. I've tried it. One of the characteristics of it that I've discovered is very smooth. And is the fat content a little bit higher in the sheep? And then where do you have it? What locations can someone try your sheep cheese?
The components in sheep milk are about double of what a Holstein cow's components. And that's the basically when I say components, the fat and the protein. And so consequently, the cheese is quite a bit richer and it's higher protein. So when we start making yogurt, it's going to be Greek yogurt from the get-go because it's double the protein of what cow yogurt would be just instead of having to strain it like Greek does. But it is creamier. It's because of the higher fat content. The ice cream too is incredible because of the increased fat level.
So are you making ice cream with it too?
Well, we do it for ourselves. We're eventually going to make ice cream. That's in the plan of having an ice cream place and being able to make ice cream and sell it to the consumer.
And see, what y'all have done so successfully is you said you were one of nine. You have five kids, three and a half work for you. And you say that half because Eric, and where's Eric in the lineup?
He's the middle child. I had two girls and then three boys, and he's the
oldest boy,
the middle child.
And he flies airplanes in Alaska half the year, and then he's down here half the year.
That's correct.
So yeah. You have him half the time.
Yeah, I have him half the time. That's how I have a half.
Well, farming, it's something that on a mom-pop scale, it's something that provides great for a family. But then when you've got all the additional families and then our kids, and as they start families, you know, your acreage doesn't necessarily grow with it. So what it can support family-wise becomes very challenging if you're trying to keep the family together or work the family business and you've got kids yourself.
Especially if they want to stay in the farm. That's the key.
Exactly. Yeah. So you guys have the dairy, but now you've got cows and sheep. And then so it's expanded, and then we're going into ice cream making, and you've already got llamas and sheep and a handful of steers. If you're opening up an ice cream shop, you need to turn into a petting zoo as well. And that can be, you know, one more income source for the family to continue to expand.
Agritourism.
Well, as you mentioned that, that's in our plans of doing that because the dairy is in the middle of the city. I mean, we're within 45 minutes of 5 million people. And so, and to be able to have that. So that's in the plans. Hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months, we can get that going where we can do tours and agritourism and ag education.
And in that tour, will we get to go through your tractor collection?
Well, that's my brother's tractor collection. So
we're going to have to talk to Larry because when they were all lined up on the row on the east side of the entrance to the north lot, I thought, man, I would just love to get somebody that could tell me the age and history. And it was like this tractor progression of 50 years just sitting right there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He has a tremendous amount of really interesting tractors.
Ooh, Bonai. Oh, gosh. We got rappels on.
If you are looking at your home maintenance calendar in the month of April, you've got three great options there. You've got Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for an organic way to keep insects out of your vegetable garden. If you're trying to get rid of grass, you've got to clean up. I got 2 gallons of concentrate yesterday for my weekend around the Whitman plantation.
Nice.
Battling a little bit of our cheese weed out there. But then you've got Repelzol. If the four-legged critters are out there tearing up your yard, you can keep them away in a safe and organic way with Repelzol. It's both people and pet friendly. You can do it in a couple ways. You can sprinkle the granulars into any burrowing hole you can find, or you can make a barrier around your yard to keep them out. Repelzol is available in granulars. It's available in liquid spray. Anywhere you don't want four-legged critters in your home, castle, or cabin, repel them with Repelzol.